Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and just whatever other random stuff happens to come up in conversation. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm here with my co-host, Austin.
Where's Jacob?
He's gone away.
We'll see him when he comes back. We'll see him.
He's got a lot going on, and honestly, we wish him and Leslie all the congratulations in the world. This is super exciting time, so he'll be back. In the meantime, though, we have with us today a very special returning guest host. Hi, Kelsey!
Hello! Thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah, the last time we had you on was like, what? Was it last year? The Zubat episode?
Was it
last year, Austin? I can't remember.
I don't know anymore.
It's been a while. The last time we talked to you was during the Zubat episode with Dr. Anna and her, like, H.H. Holmes murder castle situation.
Yeah, that was a spooky episode. There were no Zubats in either of these.
Well, we had we kind of have a water bat-looking thing, sort of, in one of these episodes. What's been going on, you guys? This has been a crazy week, at least for me. Who wants to start? Who wants to talk about their weeks?
I'll start. So I had this friend who inexplicably got obsessed with a Netflix anime and has been on a crusade to make everyone she knows watch it. So I've had to watch several episodes of an anime that I normally would not watch over the last few weeks.
What's the anime?
Well, that's a good question, because the English title is Delicious in Dungeon, but the weebs out there call it Dungeon Meshi.
It's easier to say!
It is a bet. Delicious in Dungeon's a horrible title, I agree.
Dungeon Meshi is so great! It's shout out to anybody listening. If you haven't watched Delicious in Dungeon or Dungeon Meshi, as it is known by most people online, please do. It's a good time. It's very cute.
What is the premise of this show?
Austin, I'm going to let I'm going to let you do it.
Okay.
Test your knowledge.
So there's a band who, when one of their own is killed and eaten by a dragon, they're like, well, we don't really care about that too much, but we're going to go back and try and get her back.
But she was killed.
Exactly.
But it doesn't work that way necromancy. In the universe. They care so much.
Wait, so they can bring people back from the dead by caring about them?
No, they just, we'll get into spoiler territory, I guess, if we try to explain the mechanics. I mean, maybe not. I don't know. I'm a bad judge of what is and isn't a spoiler, to be fair. So, it's new enough that I want to tread carefully.
In the world, you can revive people.
Yes.
Oh, so this is like Dragon Ball, where, death doesn't really matter. You can just wish people back or something.
It's like MMO rules, I guess.
Yeah.
You'll
respawn.
It's like they're playing Dungeons & Dragons or World of Warcraft or something, but they don't. They're not playing a video game. They're just living life.
They are the video game.
Yeah.
They are.
Oh, okay.
They're your characters in your, D&D campaign. Okay. I saw somebody online recently that was, people wanting to, put together, fan-made stories with their own OCs, the comment was, you're just doing Dungeons & Dragons. You're just...
Were you the friend that suggested this to Austin?
Yes.
Oh, okay. This is intriguing enough to where I'm interested. I would go and see. I would at least give one episode a try and see what it's all about.
It's very cute.
It takes a while to get started.
Okay, so you have to give it due diligence.
Ostensibly, it's like a cooking anime, but not quite.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, they cook something every episode.
That's interesting.
And the animation's really cute. It's done by Studio Trigger. The character designs are fun.
I just had, flashbacks and memory of, the Cooking Mama games for, the DS.
Yeah, no relation.
The furious, scratching you had to do on your screen, and that's why it all was, scratched to hell on, the DS. I don't know.
All I know about Cooking Mama is the, money laundering scam they had.
Cooking Mama was laundering money? What? Or is this, in real life?
Yeah.
What?
She was affording all those ingredients.
Do you want to elaborate? Because I'm out of
I don't know the details, so my understanding is a company released a Cooking Mama game on, Switch or whatever, And within 24 hours, it was, like, gone. Mm. People were like, what is happening over here? Some sort of crime is happening. And there was a crime happening, but it was that they made a game without the license or something.
Oh,
or there was
my
some confusion
gosh.
Over who had the license. And so, like, it got released, and it was legal stuff happening. I don't know the details.
It kind of reminds me of, like, the drama between, like, what is it? Like, I don't know the details, but, like, Harvest Moon, and now it's, like, Story of Seasons. Like, there was a whole drama with that.
Yeah, that's a crazy one. That's a wild one.
I don't even want to get into that. It's so wild, but...
I don't know about that, but I don't know. I had a friend at the time who was really into Harvest Moon, and I never got into it. But I've never been able to get into games like that. Like, I can't get into Stardew Valley, even though it looks cute and fun, and I've tried, like, multiple times. Maybe I would like it more if I was playing it on the Switch, on my desktop. I just can't get into it.
So how do you feel about, like, Animal Crossing? Oh, okay, yeah, that was my next question. I'm like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah,
I missed the boat on that one.
Same, I guess. I don't know. I didn't get into it during the pandemic.
Me neither. I think that was, if you didn't do it then, it's a lost cause now. Like, it's over. The magic's over.
Yeah. My housemate's mom is getting into it now, though. She has never played an Animal Crossing game, but is, like, the type of person that would enjoy games like that. And she seems to be really enjoying it. She sends my housemate texts all the time, and it's just, like, a picture of her character holding a fish. It's like, I went fishing. It's, like, iterations of that again and again and again. It's kind of cute.
Is that all you can do? Because I was under the... I mean, I don't know anything about Animal Crossing. I've never played an Animal Crossing game, but... I was under the impression that there was a lot of, like, online or collaborative component to it, and now that it's, like, over with, like, the hype has died down, like, is there anything to even do anymore, or...
I don't know.
Other than fish?
I'm the wrong person to ask. I haven't played it since, like, the pandemic early days. Since, like, the Tiger King sourdough
era. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
What a wild time in history.
That we all ignore now.
Because it was like a fever dream. Like, it's like it didn't even happen. It's bizarre.
I missed out on a lot of that stuff because I was actively working, and, like, it was a wild time at my work at that point.
You were physically out and about in the world.
Unfortunately. But it was what it was.
So, Kelsey, how was your week?
Oh, my week. I have picked up some newer hobbies. So I've started knitting and crocheting. I'm closing in on finishing one of my first big projects. So I've been working on crocheting a blanket. Very excited about that. It did mean that I needed to buy some new yarn. And I have been having just the worst time with buying things from Joann Fabrics. It's been an ordeal for whatever reason, through no fault of, like, people working their day-to-day who are all just, like, doing their best. This is purely a complaint against Joann Fabrics' return policy with online orders. When I placed my order with Joann's, I, like, clicked on the 4-in-1, and it was like, all right, awesome, you're done. What I didn't realize was that Joann Fabrics sourced the shipping destination for my PayPal account, and my PayPal account is tied to my parents' address on the other side of the country.
Is that where it ended up? Oh.
And I was like, oh shoot, well, I just placed this order and I just noticed. Like, I noticed pretty immediately. So I contacted Joann Fabrics customer support, and they were basically like, no.
Get fucked.
Yeah. They're like, the deed is done.
You can't unship.
Nope. Once you submit that order, it is set in stone. They have sealed a pact with blood. It's over.
What? So, wait. They don't, if you don't catch it, like, in time. So if you click the thing and you're like, okay, it's been like 10 minutes and I realize my mistake. You can't, like, correct, reach out to them and be like, oh my gosh, it's only been 10 minutes. There's no way you fulfilled this or did even, like, looked at this yet. And they're like, nope, sorry.
Yeah.
You've made a deal with the devil. We can't undo it. It's eternity. Like, we cannot fix this.
Literally, yes.
What? That's wild.
And when I got that response, I initially thought that had to have been a mistake because that sounded absurd in the year of our Lord 2024. So I sent a response and I was like, oh, because I was like, can you cancel or reroute the order? And they were like, no. And so I responded. I was like, well, could you at least cancel it? It's still processing. And they were like, no.
Wait, so they wouldn't let you cancel
it? Yeah.
You couldn't just cancel it and reorder it. That right there is, like, a surefire way for me to never do business with the company again. I'm like, if you're going to make it so difficult, it makes me never want to shop with you guys again. Like,
eventually it shipped and it arrived at my parents' house.
Oh my gosh.
At that point, I had already run out of the yarn I needed to complete this blanket. So I was just like, I'll just go pick up yarn in person here. I placed an online order. Then I showed up in store and it turned out that whoever fulfilled my order in the store accidentally grabbed the wrong color for one of the colors I needed, and I was like, oh shoot.
Wow, it's just getting better and better.
And you would think, like, their system would allow them to just, like, even if they couldn't do an exchange within the same transaction, cancel out or refund that singular item and then charge me in store for the item I actually needed and ordered. It cannot, it turns out, so they had to cancel the entire order and then recharge me. And then there were issues with, like, the discount because it was an online order, and so we solved it. I ended up paying, like, $1 more than I actually did because they couldn't, like, refund me and then charge me with the same discount supplied. And we went back and forth, and I was like, no, it's fine. Like, you're doing your best. None of this is your fault. Shout out to Joanne Fabrics cashiers. You have an impossible job, and I wish you only the best things.
So the moral of the story is customer service is dead, and nobody cares. Like, except for we're not saying anything negative about the people on the boots on the ground people. You know, cashiers have an impossible job. Shout out to those people. But like you said, but customer service and like on a corporate level is just absolutely heinous.
I mean, I know they're struggling as a company, and it's sad to see because we need craft stores. Like,
well, they're not endearing themselves. I mean, with the story you said, it's like they're not making it easy on themselves, and then they wonder, like, why people aren't, like, shopping there. And, like, it's like that meme with, like, Eric Andre. Like, it's like, oh, who shot Hannibal? Like,
oh, yeah.
Well, it sounds like it all worked out at the end, at least. So, what an ordeal. All over some yarn.
Yeah, all over, like, a $40 order of yarn.
All right, Alex, I'm going to ask you how your week was, but before that, I have an announcement to make.
Okay, what's the announcement? Surprise announcement.
You and I are in a picture on the homepage of the Power Rangers convention website.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Oh my
God. Don't Amazing. Say that to me. I probably look wretched.
We're, like, way in the background.
I remember that day, and it was hot as hell. It was, like, 90 billion degrees outside. We were, like, dressed in casual, comfy, like, hiking around in the sun clothes. And I just remember, like, my hair being crazy. Like, how are we on the front page when this was over a year ago?
It's from the previous year.
Hold on. Hold on here.
We're, like, wet. You can barely. We're, like, 3 pixels.
Okay. Well, that's not being on the front page.
Whoa. There is somebody doing... Somebody's doing wild moves on the VIP section of this website. There's a lot happening.
It's not
here.
The best website I've ever seen in my life.
Where are we?
Scroll down under main events.
Oh my God, we are right there. Okay, this is not as bad as I was thinking. You can barely pick us out of a crowd. Like, you can't even make out any details or whatever.
I am looking for you and I can't tell you're there.
Okay, perfect.
You're good.
Oh, good. The day is saved. I was thinking it was, like, somehow, like, a candid, photograph where it's, like, us two only. Like, why would they ever choose that?
It would probably be, like, cutest couples or some bullshit. Gross.
Ugh. Oh, my God. No, that's, it's a crowd picture. There's nothing to it. It's tiny.
What is happening at this convention? What are these dance?
Not much.
Dance battles? There are people getting down in this VIP video.
Yeah, that, we were not VIPs. So we don't know about that. We don't know what's happening there.
We got invited to the after party. We left. We had to catch a train back. So.
Yeah, we got the cheapest price available. And we're there for like 3 hours and left.
That was enough time.
Evidently, to be a VIP, like, you gotta have some moves.
I think you just have to show up. Honestly, if you have even slightly more passion than, like, a casual interest in Power Rangers, you're considered a VIP. So, there you go.
That's fair.
Sorry, I totally got us off topic. Alex, how was your week?
All right, well, this week has been kind of busy. All day yesterday was an absolute ordeal. I helped my boyfriend move from his house. It was a two-man moving job. Like, it was just me and him. That was it. We didn't have any movers or anything like that. So my body is broken.
Oh.
I'm very tired.
Is your mind broken or just your
it
body?
It is. Both. Completely broken. No. It's fine. It was a necessary thing to do, you know, and I'm glad to have been able to help. At least the hard part's over. Now the whole, like, unpacking and organizing part has to start, so that's a problem for another day, but...
That's a long process.
It is a long process, and I'm like, okay, let's all just remember that this doesn't have to be done in a day. This is gonna be an ongoing ordeal. I'm still not completely unpacked and done with what I need to do around here, and I've been in my apartment since, like, February, so... I feel like you don't really get unpacked and settled until you're like, you have to move again.
Yes, exactly. Then it's like, okay, what's already packed?
Right? What? I don't have to worry about it, right? It's already in a box. So there was that. So that was the main thing. And then I know this is going to sound really nerdy, but here we are on a Pokemon podcast. So as of this weekend, it's the Summer Games Fest. It's like the new E3.
Oh, what is that happening?
It's happening this weekend, so, like, as of recording this, the event's been ongoing. So I'm super excited because at long last, I know this sounds wild, but I just want to preface this by saying, like, I hope we can all understand that this is more, my feelings about this are more out of, like, the fact that it's been 10 years, like, a literal decade. I think it's more of having to have, like, waited all that time. Supposedly they're announcing the new Dragon Age game, but that's happening on Tuesday. So, I don't know. I'm at this weird point where I'm, like, on the one hand, I'm, like, uninterested because it's been so long. But on the other hand, I'm, like, frothing at the mouth because I'm, like, I can't believe this is happening after 10 years. It almost doesn't seem real, if that makes sense. It's, like, less about the game at this point and more about, like, the waiting being over. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I'm really trying to temper my expectations because I'm, like, okay, I've waited all this time. But it's, like, I don't want to get my hopes up for something after all this time.
I hope it's not extremely disappointing like every other AAA video game release that's come out in the last decade.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, and the other thing, Austin, I wanted to mention, I don't know if you saw this, but speaking of Power Rangers, they announced a Power Rangers game.
Oh, I saw that.
Like Rita's Rewind or something, and I immediately thought of you. I'm like, Austin's going to buy that, I'm sure.
Oh, so of we'll course. See.
I don't know. You're right, Austin. We got to temper our expectations. AAA games... Don't get your hopes up for stuff like that.
Just in general, don't get your hopes up for anything.
Well, if you don't have any expectations, you can't be disappointed.
Speaking of low expectations, Pokemon the series.
Yeah! This week we have Mantine Overboard and Octillery the Outcast. What are our thoughts about these two episodes, you guys? What did you think overall?
So is it Mantine or is it Mantine?
That's a good question.
I've always said Mantine, but I'm probably wrong.
I've always said Mantine because that's what they say in the Entei movie. And that's more important than anything else, so...
that's the measuring stick against all else.
I was reading it as Mantine. And even though I watched the episode more than once, I cannot confidently tell you.
Wait, did they even... Okay, I know they said the word Mantine in the show, but now I can't remember what they said. Like, I literally just watched this and I can't... And now I'm questioning.
They said Mantine.
Tomato, tomato, really, Kelsey. I mean, go with what your heart tells you.
That's a very Pokemon answer. Mantine's cute. Mantine.
It's a manta ray equivalent thing.
It flies.
Apparently.
It's the kite Pokemon, apparently.
It's the kite
Pokemon? We don't ever actually see it fly. We don't see it go out of the water.
It jumps out of the water at one point.
Oh, I missed it. Okay.
I guess rays can do that, can't they?
I know Mantines can.
Fair. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they can. I don't know that they, like, lunge themselves out of the water for any particular reason. Maybe they do.
Yeah, it says they do. They jump around 2 meters out of the water.
There Manta rays in real life?
Yeah.
What is the reasoning for that?
Groups have been spotted doing this for hours at a time, especially off the coast of Mexico.
Oh. Because it's fun, I guess. I don't know.
Is there like a path? Is there a recreational aspect to this, or is it just, is there like a behavioral component? Like, what is the reasoning?
Okay, this is what Quora says, Quora.com.
Oh, okay. Let's use the most reliable internet source. Okay.
It's an instinctual behavior. Some do it because they are insect eaters. Some to reach a potential mate or potential rival. And then it gets cut off, and I don't want to click the link, so I'm done with that.
All right, random internet answerer person. We'll just go with what explanation you gave there. If any manta rayologists want to weigh in.
We're very much in a marine biology section of the season, but that's what we've been talking about a lot lately.
All right, well, let's get this party started. Mantine party.
Okay, Kelsey, you can do the 30-second summaries.
All right.
Austin, that's me, we'll do Mantine Overboard.
All right.
And Alex, you got the auxiliary episode.
Okay. Kelsey, we believe in you. You will do absolutely perfect.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get into it.
3, 2, 1, go.
Ash and Co. go to a town, and in that town, they're there because they need to take a ferry to Scarlet City, because they're going to go and be in a tournament. The World Cup? I think that's what it is. Anyway, they miss their ferry, which has happened to me in real life before, and it sucks. So they meet some researcher, and she's like, it's cool, I'll take you there. And they're
like... Oh. Okay, Kelsey, thank you for covering the first 2 minutes. So, our twerps meet after that lovely intro at Ogi City. Mm-hmm. They meet Luca.
Yes.
And Luca is a researcher, and she wants to have a whole crew with her, but she's not going to tell us that in advance. She's going to, like, conscript these children into be her...
Free labor.
Free labor. That's what the twerps do all the time. But it's an adventure, so it's fine.
Yeah.
So instead of taking the ferry and waiting an entire 24 hours, heaven forbid, we're going to go on Luca's little boat. We're going to need a bigger boat because we're going to get attacked by a manta ray. While we're on the way to Red Island, or whatever it's called.
Red Rock Island.
Red Rock Isle. The twerps are like kind of like being nosy, and they're like, look, you have a treasure map. Look, you have a framed photo of a man. And they get this whole story out of her about how her great-grandfather was on some sort of expedition where he found a silver wing and had it in a treasure box. And the silver wing, we don't know anything about it or what it is, just that it's a mysterious item connected to a potentially legendary Pokemon. And Ash apparently has read the script, because he says, do you think it might be the feather of a Lugia, like the one we just saw a few episodes ago?
Oh, hey! Wow, some connective tissue at last.
Yes.
Good job,
Ash. This might be leading to future episodes, actually.
I have a question. I just wanted to know the motivation behind this. I mean, I can understand, like, the treasure hunting of it all. Like, okay, legendary item, legendary Pokemon, potential riches, or, you know, prestige, or whatever. But, like, she seems personally invested in this, because she's like, here's the map, and also a framed picture of my great-grandfather, who I probably, like, never knew, because that was a long time ago. And even if I did know him, I was, like, a baby, and he probably, like, died. But she's like, I have to personally avenge him.
Yes.
Because, as we all know, all the people that were relevant to this story have, like, died. So I really don't know who even cares, because she says something to the effect of, like, everybody laughed at him. And they didn't believe that the feather was a legendary Pokemon. So I have to, like, avenge his name and prove to dead people that he actually was right and that the ship had treasure. I'm like, okay, girl, you do you then.
Has this girl been living in shame her entire life due to her great-grandfather claiming he had a feather?
Who is shaming her?
Has her family been shunned?
Like, nobody who's around is even, like, around anymore. Like, who would even care at this point?
I have a second question. I don't know if anybody else noticed this. Did anybody else notice the emblem when they find the silver wing? Like, the emblem on the box?
The star and crescent moon?
Yeah, it's like the star and crescent symbol.
Like, I'm assuming they were going for the gold and silver sun and moon theme?
I guess, but I'm like, that's a real symbol.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it looked identical to the symbol of Islam.
That one has, the star is in the crescent moon.
I thought the star was in the crescent moon on the Pokemon episode.
It's kind of off to the side of it.
Is it off the side? I was like, Pokemon, this isn't yours. You don't get to just use this on your treasure box.
It kind of does look a little bit similar.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin, just a quick question, just in general. Like, I understand our prescribing, like, the whole sun imagery to, like, Ho-Oh and the moon to Lugia, you know, because it's, like, bird, sun, air, whatever, and then, like, ocean, moon, whatever, Lugia. But do they ever explicitly make the connection between, like, suns and moons to them? Because I don't think so.
Not really. I mean, there's the title cards of the games where Ho-Oh really flies at day and Lugia swims at night.
There's not really a connection there, so I don't really understand, Kelsey. I'm kind of with you on, like, I don't understand why they use the sun or the moon and a star symbol for Lugia. Like, I don't understand that.
I don't know. Maybe Luca's great-grandfather was, like, Muslim, and he had a religious treasure box that he had that he put the silver wing into.
I don't know. Maybe. Probably.
But the symbol was wrong.
I mean, no. It looked very similar to the old Ocarina of Time symbols they use on, like, the boxes and stuff that they changed for that reason.
And they also had the chant.
Yeah. Yeah. I see your comparison here, Austin.
Yeah.
It does look similar.
Flipped. It's flipped.
It's flipped. And yeah. the sizes are different, but you're right. That is very damn similar.
I'm like, somebody maybe should have thought more critically. I don't know.
I would have changed a star to a sun and then had them, like, not be an actual religious symbol.
Why don't they just have, like, a feather symbol on it? Because that's what's inside is a feather. So why not just have, like, a wing symbol or something?
Too obvious. Then everybody's going to know what's in there.
Why does it even have to have a symbol at all? Why can't they just have a plain old box?
Good catch, Kelsey. That completely flew by me. Well, we got to go diving, deep sea diving for this lost treasure in the sunken ship, the ISS Raspberry.
Perfect name.
Yeah.
Ash, for some reason, is going to join this girl underwater. I don't know what her plan was if she didn't have random people to kidnap.
Don't you know that Ash is, like, deep sea diving certified and is completely qualified for
Not Misty, the person who allegedly is a water Pokemon trainer. No, Ash has allegedly. To go down there. They go down there with Lucas 3 Magikarp. But then a territorial Mantine / Manteen says, get away from my boat, and chases them off.
If you're going to send a child down to the ocean, why would you send them with Magikarp? Those Magikarp aren't going to do shit.
No, they're not.
That was certainly a choice, and she has 3 of them. Like, she literally could have had anything else, like, even Goldeen, potentially better, but... Nope, 3 Magikarps.
Well, she doesn't have a research crew because everyone mocks her and, like, puts her down and shames her because of her great-grandfather. So she can't hire anyone.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, so she has to rely on child labor.
Random children for unpaid labor, yeah.
Doesn't endear me to her.
No, it does not. So we go down a second time, this time with Pikachu.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe... How is she prepared to have, like, a little tiny oxygen tank, a little tiny Pikachu-sized diving mask, and then little flippers?
She's clearly relied on child labor for a long time.
For much younger children than Ash. She had toddlers in there.
Toddlers throwing them into the water. Okay, now swim. Swim down to the bottom.
It was like the Nirvana baby.
Yeah, they're closer to that time when they were in the womb and they were, like, floating around. So maybe they're just better at swimming.
Okay, this campaign also does not work because Ash and Pikachu distract the Mantine. I think Luca discovers there's some Remoraids and she's like, oh shit, Remoraids. So they all go up again. And this time they're going to go down a third time. Alex?
Why? Okay, I don't understand why they didn't just do this third time plan from the outset. Misty, Luca, and Ash could have... If she has all this diving gear, it's not a question of, like, well, I only have one wetsuit. I only have one tank. You know, I can only take one of you. She's got just, like, oodles and oodles of, like, gear that she can just slap on anybody. Why didn't they all just go in the beginning with the water Pokemon? Because Misty's like...
Stretch it out. 22 minutes. Stretch it out.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, we should use my water Pokemon and Totodile, which I'm like, you could have thought of that 10 minutes ago.
Why are we using the Magikarps when we have a Staryu?
We have a Poliwhirl, we have a Totodile, we have a Staryu. We have other options. I don't understand.
Corsola, Rocky.
Oh, I forgot all about Corsola.
All right, so now Misty finally remembers that she exists. Her presence has been acknowledged, and now she's going down with Ash and Luca. Brock gets to sit on the sidelines. They all go down. It turns out there's a Remoraid pair, and they are guarding their cute little Remoraid babies.
Of course they would have to make their nest right on the treasure box.
Yes. Then Team Rocket, who's been watching the whole time, attacks. And they try to take the treasure chest and the Mandine, I think?
Yeah.
And the Grimoire?
For some reason.
Okay. They just there's chaos. Chaos ensues. And immediately, the Mantine and the Rimmerade parents are like, oh, that's right. Ash is the hero. We're on his side. So Mantine offers to carry Ash on his back, and they pursue Team Rocket, even though they're not threatening the babies, so whatever. Mantine is just wanting to help out. And they get the treasure chest back from Team Rocket and blast Team Rocket off again, and the day is saved. So we leave the Mantine and the Rimmerades and say goodbye and let them live on their sunken ship life.
Deep are they?
Not deep enough to get the bends, because they go up and down no problem.
It doesn't seem very far. It seems like they're right kind of like
they're like right on the surface.
Shoal or something. Yeah, like
I don't know how no one found this sunken ship for 100 years.
Yeah, I was like,
it's right there.
Ship is large. I guess that's possible.
Wait, didn't they say, like, maybe I'm extrapolating too much out of this. Maybe they didn't, and I'm just sort of like making this up. But I thought when Luca was explaining the backstory about Grandpa and how he was laughed out of, like, all of his social circles for the absurd idea that he had a box with a feather in it. he told them, like, where they were. Because wasn't there, like, a flashback scene where they, like, raised the ship up?
No, I think another ship came to rescue the people.
Mm.
So they knew where it was then.
Yeah, they knew exactly where it was. I don't know why it took Luca and her computer science to figure out where the sunken ship was.
So wait, because she said like Grandpa kept a journal. Wait a minute. All right, I gotta think about this, because she says something to the effect of like 20 years he tried to find the ship again, or was it that he told them for 20 years that it was down? It was something to do with 20 years. Does anybody remember that?
People in the Pokemon universe don't tend to be very efficient, it seems.
No, they don't.
Or maybe it took him 20 years to find the Silver Wing, and then he had it and then lost it in a storm. Maybe that's what it was.
Which I guess makes a little more sense, the Silver Wing being a mystical thing.
I mean, we're going to get a whole movie about this kind of thing, about the feathers.
Huh, okay.
In the distant future.
All right, maybe that's what it was. But yeah. Still, the question's valid of, like, why it took her so much more time to find the ship. But whatever.
After 100 or some years, I'm just throwing out numbers at this point. After 120 years, the Silver Wing has been found, and it glows, and it's magical. Luca takes us to Red Rock Isle, where the World Cup is going to begin in the next episode. Then we never see Luca and her Silver Wing ever again. Just kidding, fucker. She comes back.
Oh,
this story
wow.
is not done.
Recurring Ooh. Character alert.
When does she come back?
Soon.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, that tracks.
You know, I was actually kind of taken aback a little bit, to be honest, because, I mean, this World Cup thing is happening way sooner than I thought it was. We get basically no in-between time of, like, training montage or adventures. I mean, we had Pudgy Pidgey and we had this, I guess, and that's about it.
They said it wasn't going to start for a month, and they did jack shit during that month.
Literally, what episodes have we had? We literally had the Corsola episode, a Chinchou episode.
That's it.
And that's...
That's it.
And the Pidgeys were there, and that's it. I thought we were going to have, like, way more filler adventure in the interim. I guess we can't be really sad about that.
This episode definitely felt significant. I guess.
It's more significant than most of the episodes we've been getting for a long time.
That makes it fun. We're closer to Lugia lore.
Some semblance of something happening. So there's that, I guess.
Where do you get the Silver Wing in the game? Isn't it in the tower? Or is that the Rainbow Wing?
I never played Silver, so I don't know. Do you get it from Team Rocket?
I don't remember. I played Pokemon Silver. I want to say you get it from the tower.
Acquisition. According to Bulbapedia, you get it in Soul Silver and Silver from the Goldenrod Radio Tower from the director after defeating Team Rocket.
Okay.
So he had it the whole time.
Yeah.
Yep.
That, you know who that was? That was Luca's great-grandfather.
He was the director.
As a kid, I really liked that you could listen to the radio in Silver. I don't know why that was so exciting to me.
It was a cute idea, yeah.
Yeah, so you were right. Your memory did serve you well, because that is exactly where it comes from.
The Rainbow Wing also comes from a tower.
Let's see what it says about the Rainbow Wing.
Oh, apparently in gold you can get it in Pewter City from the old man near the exit to Route 3.
So some old man just has it?
That's like the Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, the elderly couple that's like, hey, do you want a Mew? Here you go. Hey, you want a Jirachi? Here's one.
They're just handing them out like candy. Yeah, okay, so in I guess the alternate one is found from the old man. So, like, if you're playing Heart Gold or whatever, you get it from the radio tower, and then the old man is the one that gives you the opposite one in whatever game you're playing.
Hmm. Alex, you remember that time we read that book that said that Ash's great-great-grandfather lives in Pewter City?
Wait, what book was that?
It was, like, way a long time ago.
Just know that anytime you ask me, do I remember something from...
The answer is no.
A long time ago, the answer is gonna be no, but I'll take your word.
Do you remember your MVP and LVP in quote? Because that's what we're doing now.
I never write it down. I just fly by the seat of my pants and just pick something however I feel.
Okay.
Who's first?
You are, then me, then Kelsey.
Okay. I am going to give my MVP to Brock for not having to dive into the water because I don't like the ocean. And I would not want to go into the ocean. I think Brock got the sweet end of the deal here because he's like, all right, you guys have fun down there in this creepy sunken ship, and I get to stay on this boat and do nothing and still get paid. You know?
He got paid for his appearance in this episode.
Yeah, per his contract.
He's main cast.
Yeah,
he's main cast. My LVP is going to be Luca for having this obsessive need to clear her great-grandfather's name when everybody who... even remotely cared about this like 80 years ago is long gone. So why are we doing this, really? And the fact that she has 3 Magikarps and is unprepared and just relies on the free labor of unsuspecting children to search for this artifact. My quote, let's see. Okay, it's from Jesse when they are deciding that they're going to catch Mantine for some strange reason. There's like 1,000 Mantine. I don't really know why they have to pick this one.
I mean, it's cute. It's a cute
Pokemon. It is. It's, sure. I think it needs something else. Maybe...
like a little Remoraid attached to its arm?
I keep forgetting... okay, you know what? I said that having completely forgot about Mantyke. That's how underwhelming it is. I was like, it needs something, like an evolution or a pre-evolution. Oh, wait. There's Mantyke. Sorry to all you Mantine lovers out there. It's just not on my radar, really. But anyway, my quote is going to be... Jesse, she says, all right then, now it's out with the minimum effort, maximum profit plan, and in with the slightly more than before, but still pretty good plan.
Yeah, that was a lot of lip flaps they had to fill for that one.
That was something.
All right, my MVP is going to be Pikachu for being very cute in his toddler-sized scuba outfit.
Aw.
That was very adorable. My LVP is going to be... the past month that we've spent on the World Islands without doing much of anything, aside from Misty catching the Corsola. What a waste of our time. And I still blame Jasmine for this, by the way. This is all her fault. My quote, Luca says, these two Pokemon live in symbiosis. And Ash says, symbi, huh?
I mean, he's only 10, so...
True. Then why does he have all the legal rights of an adult? I don't know.
All right. MVP... is Mantine.
Oh, good.
It decides to be, like, helpful, decides to be a pal, even though it doesn't have to. LVP is Misty, because why wasn't she the first one in the water? She should have been like, hey, wait a second. Like, Misty has no problem speaking up when she wants to. She clearly wanted to let Ash go in and deal with that. And I was woefully unprepared and did not select a quote, so I don't have one written down.
I have a surplus of options for you.
Oh, that's the one that I was thinking. Yeah, I was like, please have Kelsey.
Oh, thank you. This quote, selected for me from Austin, thank you, is by Meowth. Finally, an internet purchase that actually worked. I don't know what that feels like, Meowth, but glad you do.
Was that referring to the part where he did some sort of, like, sticky rope thing to catch Mantine in the water?
You have some popular Pokemon website?
Some popular Pokemon purchase of the day.
All right, who's ready for the Octillery episode?
I am.
Oh, you know I am.
Octillery the Outcast. Ready, Kelsey? 3, 2, 1, go!
Oh, God. So they make it to Scarlet City, which is great. No, my notes. They run into a child who has a Remoraid. He's like, please let me, or help me, I need to evolve my Remoraid. They do it. Remoraid evolves, but it's not enough to help this child win the World Cup. He loses. Ash immediately is like, you lost. And the kid's like, yeah, which feels kind of mean, but fine, Ash.
Time.
okay. Good summary. That was pretty much all that happened, Kelsey, really, so.
That's true. We didn't get to the room full of Remoraids that this child has been raising. It reminded me of that scene in Evangelion where they're like, they find all their rays.
Oh my gosh.
And then all the Remoraids fall apart. They fall to pieces.
Yeah.
God, I am so sick of Remoraid.
Yeah, we've had a lot of Remoraid.
It's like been one Remoraid episode after another, literally in this case.
It all started with the Remoraidians, and that's what predated all this.
I remember encountering many, many Remoraids in Pokemon Silver, and I remember being like, oh, this is cool, the very first time I saw one, and then I immediately was like, I don't care about this Pokemon, I don't want it.
It's not the worst. It's not the worst, but it's not that best. I always forget about it as well.
I appreciate that they're trying to do something with it. It's a pistol and a fish, yeah. But it's not... They don't go far enough. It's not obvious that that's the case. You gotta, like, really be Remoraid aware. Which, unfortunately, at this point in my life, I am now very Remoraid aware. Because that's all we ever do is watch Remoraid episodes.
Would it have been more impactful, Austin, if in some capacity in the show they actually had a trainer using their Remoraid as, like, a water gun? Like, physically holding
it? They will eventually. That will happen. But it hasn't happened yet.
I eagerly await that day. All right, so like Kelsey said, we have gotten to Scarlet City in record time because we're not doing any more filler, apparently.
That month flew by.
Yep, time for the World Cup. We did all of three things, and now we're here. And also, zero training. Zero training, because we were too busy screwing around on Pudgy Pidgey Isle and helping some kid with his Chin Chow parade. But it's time... Team Rocket has a big idea off the bat to steal all the water Pokemon that's going to be participating in this tournament and make a water Pokemon theme park, because that's apparently going to make a lot of money. So we go to the Pokemon Center, where we meet the most broken by bureaucracy Nurse Joy I've ever seen.
That felt real.
But she's completely unfazed by any of Brock's shenanigans, and she's like just going through her script with no care in the world, not letting the twerps like talk or anything. She's just like, okay, here's the rules, here's where you're gonna be, thank you, next, goodbye. She explains to them that they have to go through a preliminary round first, and based on the number of this year's entrants, they only have to win two rounds to advance into the finals, right? Is that how it works?
I thought so, okay. Yeah.
They said it's 64 people in the tournament proper.
Yeah, so we don't have time really to mess around. There's not gonna be a whole lot of like lead up battles to this whole thing, so We're just in and out, like sauerkraut. We leave the Pokemon Center to get ready for the contest, which is going to happen the next day, and they bump into a kid named Marcellus, who is a young kid, and he's like, please, please battle me, because I need to evolve my Remoraid, because I'm extremely unprepared, and I can't participate in this competition because, okay, I just want to sidebar real quick. This is the worst rule I've ever seen, like, it's a water Pokemon competition, but the actual competition takes place on, like, a stone platform in the middle of this, like, water arena. So only water-type Pokemon who have land capability can compete.
Okay, I'm, like, 99% sure that's not the case, because I'm pretty sure in the coming episodes we're going to see contrary information to that.
Well, maybe this kid is uninformed, but he makes a big deal about the fact that he won't be able to use his Remoraid in this competition because it only can go in the water. So he needs to evolve it into an Octillery because it can sit on land.
The slow-moving octopus is going to be much more agile and versatile.
Exactly.
I remember watching this episode as a kid.
Yep.
And I remember this kid saying, I need to evolve my Remoraid into an Octillery. And I remember thinking, well, that's not going to happen because Remoraid does not evolve into an Octillery. Remoraid is a fish, and Octillery is an octopus, you stupid child.
So what did you think Octillery came from?
I thought it was just a standalone Pokemon.
Ah.
You know what? I actually also did, because I didn't ever care about Remoraid, and I caught them, but I never actually, like, did anything with them, so I never knew.
It's one of, like, the least intuitive Pokemon evolutions of all time?
Yeah, well, that too.
So you can imagine my surprise in this episode when Remoraid evolved into Octillery. I'm like, wait a second. What just happened here?
So he's like, yeah, please train with me. I need to evolve my Octillery, or my Remoraid into an Octillery. And so Misty decides that she'll be the one to take on this burden, and Ash can save his strength for the competition because she's the one that needs to train her Corsola, because she does acknowledge, actually, that she hasn't had any time to actually do anything with it since catching it, like, yesterday. She decides to take on Marcellus, this kid with a Remoraid, and ultimately ends up getting completely fucking schooled by this kid because it's only able to get off one mirror coat and then smacks itself unconscious after using Tackle by running into a rock, and then Remoraid destroys it.
It's almost like Misty is not very good at what she claims to be doing.
This is the worst. I mean, this is so pathetically sad. I almost felt, like, really bad for her. I'm like, you aren't gonna get far at all if you can't even beat this, like, timid kid with a Remoraid. Fortunately, though, it only ever takes Marcellus, like, this one last battle to evolve. So apparently this was a level 24 Remoraid, and now it's level 25, and it evolves. Congratulations. So he's like, okay, the next day, it's competition time, so we're actually in the preliminaries, and Ash beats a kid with the seal easily, and Misty uses Poliwhirl to beat a kid with a Magikarp in the most softest softball match ever.
It was Luca.
Yeah. They run into Marcellus again, and he's very depressed and sad, and they're like, oh no, you don't look so good, what happened? And he's like, well, I lost. Octillery lost, so training didn't matter at all. But he's like, you know what you should do? You should come to my house. And he invites them back to the most opulent mansion in the town.
Yes. The fact that this kid's a local and he was so woefully unprepared for this competition.
I don't know what he's been doing all... No, this is... How long do we say is in between World Cups? 4 years?
3 years.
I thought it was... Was it 3 or 4?
3.
3. Okay. So for 3 years, he's been just... I don't know what he's been doing. But he apparently lives alone in this giant mansion because we don't see his parents, and he just invites these 3 stranger kids back to his house with no problem.
Not a single other person to be seen.
No. And he apparently cooks them dinner by himself, because even though he lives in an opulent mansion, he has no staff, and we don't see, like, any sort of cook or anything. He's like, I just made all this dinner, like, you know, 4-course meal for you by myself.
I simply refuse to believe that that is true. I think he's lying.
He's lying.
Yeah, there's no way.
Stay in the back where you belong, kitchen staff.
Yeah, I just don't believe it.
Why is it every single time we see any well-to-do kid who apparently has the capacity to have some kind of, like, kitchen staff, they're always cooking themselves?
Yeah, to Maku.
Yes, she said the same thing. She's like, I enjoy cooking and I'm going to cook for you myself.
Is this, like, Jamaku's, like, cousin or something?
Well, they both had blue hair, right?
Maybe it's just less things to animate.
True. Less character designs.
Yeah.
That's true. After they eat, he takes them to his entire Remoraid room, which is basically 3 walls, like, floor-to-ceiling tanks, where he keeps his Remoraid that he collects from all corners of the globe, because that's his passion.
Of all the passions to have, I mean, I shouldn't be shaming anyone's special interests, but Remoraid.
To be fair, there's a lot of them, so probably wasn't that hard to find them.
They should have had him be, like, a gun nut.
He just has them mounted on the wall.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't know anything about keeping fish, but apparently keeping any kind of, like, aquarium or exotic type fish, like, is a very expensive and dedicated hobby. Like, you have to keep it just right as far as, like, water temperature and environment, and there's a whole thing.
That's why they can't afford staff.
Yeah. Maybe. All the money goes to this... But it's so sad, though, because apparently, even though it's only been, like, one day, when Octillery, or rather Remoraid, the one that evolves, used to be, like, the leader of all these other Remoraids. But because it evolved outside and they didn't physically witness it evolving with their own eyeballs, they have completely lost all way to distinguish this Octillery and think it's a stranger now.
I love how even the Remoraid don't know that Remoraid evolved into Octillery.
Right? They're equally shocked. So they abandon it. They shun it. They bully it. They spray it with water guns because they don't realize that this is actually their friend. So it's become so depressed now because it's lost all its friends and family. That's the reason why Marcellus lost, because it was despondent with grief. But Misty has a brilliant idea, and she's like, you know what, how we're going to snap these Remoraid out of this and cheer up Octillery and everything's going to be right in the world, is we're going to have Ash dress up in an Octillery costume that somehow we've procured, I don't know how, and have Ash swim around in the tank and, like, be friends with it. But Octillery sees through this shit immediately, and he's like, get the hell away from me.
Yeah.
Which I also would do. If I saw some kid, like, swimming up to me in, like a life-size octopus costume, I think I would also be like, get the hell away from me.
It's not okay to wear Halloween costumes appropriating other cultures.
No.
Octillery culture.
I feel like that plan insults Octillery's intelligence. Don't blame him for feeling that way.
You know what are really smart? Octopuses.
That's true.
Yeah. Why can't Marcellus just be like, guys, this is main Remoraid / Octillery. Like, he evolved. Or she, we don't really know. And so I don't know why you guys are being so salty, but this is your friend. Like, why couldn't we have just explained that to them? Maybe they can't understand.
Also, if Marcellus is farming Remoraids, it's weird that this is the first time that he's encountered an evolution. And you would imagine that somebody with, like, animal husbandry as their primary raison d'etre to be, like, aware of behavioral quirks during that phase in their life. Why would he, as like an extensive Remoraid aficionado, not know that, like, as a potential outcome? It seems consistent. If it's the entire school of them, it seems like that's probably pretty common behavior. That would be my impression. And this tells me that Marcellus is a Remoraid backyard breeder. That's how I feel about him.
That bastard little kid.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, Kelsey, is what he should have done is he should have gathered up his dozens of Remoraid to take with him when he challenged somebody, who in this case happened to be Misty, and been like, all right, guys, watch carefully. This is your friend. Well, rookie mistake, apparently.
He should have given all of his Remoraids some sort of mild, like, calming agent. He should have given them Remoraid gabapentin and, like, like, hey, guys, you're going to chill out for a little bit while you ease into your new friend or your old friend's new body.
Also, you know what, Remoraids? When your friends experience changes, we accept them for who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't bully them out of the group.
These Remoraids are assholes. I hate them.
Yeah. Marcellus is just a bad trainer. I think that's become clear.
I'm glad he lost to the Magikarp.
I'm glad we took the time to really explore that because it makes perfect sense now. Before we really can get any farther in this debacle, Team Rocket interrupts because they're like, you know what? We're just going to suck up all the Remoraids out of this kid's tank because apparently it must be too difficult to just do this during the water competition World Cup. So they suck up all the Remoraids and Marcellus just casually wanders in because he's like, I hear a disturbance. I should probably go check on those Remoraids. And he doesn't seem to notice right off the bat that all the tanks are empty of water and everything. He's like, huh? Takes a minute for the synapses in the brain to fire and he realizes that Team Rocket has stolen all his Pokemon. Meanwhile, though, Octillery is taking matters into its own hands. It takes the initiative to, like, attach itself underneath the getaway truck and leave, like, a trail of water for the twerps to follow. And Team Rocket somehow makes their way to, like, a pier, a dock, where they have a getaway ship that they're going to, I guess, take all the Remoraids to and get away.
Would love to see Team Rocket coming up on Giovanni's, like, beach estate with, love, like, a truck full of Remoraids and be like, here you go, boss. And for him to be like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
Arm all the Team Rocket grunts, right?
Oh, wait, they're starting a theme park. Never mind.
So why are they... This whole plan just doesn't make sense. Why are they getting a getaway ship prepared? I guess their theme park is somewhere else. I don't know. So anyway, Octillery engages them single-handedly and rescues all the Remoraid from their tank. I can't remember when the twerps show up, but they do. And all of the Remoraid and Octillery band together and defeat Team Rocket. All this excitement was enough to spur them all into evolving all at once. So now we have, like, 3 dozen Octillery just hanging around.
The Deep from The Boys would be so excited.
Oh my gosh.
I've not seen that show yet, but I know that.
This is wonderful and perfect. Marcellus is overjoyed, and he's like, I guess I'll have an army of Octillery to win the competition next time in 3 years from now.
Like, Octillery's kind of cute, but, like, I'm not, like, I don't need 40 of them.
No.
How hard is it to, like, take care of an octopus? Like, I don't know if they can really be kept in captivity, for one thing. I don't think so. But I imagine it's, like, hard to take care of them.
I feel like you see so many wild aquatic animals being kept as pets by people who have more money than God. So part of me is, like, it feels like you shouldn't keep an octopus as a pet, if only because, like, they're so intelligent, and how could you, like, provide adequate enrichment and stimulation for an animal like that? But I do not doubt that there's somebody with, like, a single octopus out there somewhere.
We need to get in touch with the My Octopus Teacher guy.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah.
We need to get his thoughts. I watched that, but I forgot everything.
It was sensual. It was weird.
It was sensual.
Should the name of this episode be My Octillery Teacher?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my god, yes. Yeah.
That's a good one.
There we go. Got it.
Love that. Good job, Austin.
Thank you.
But yeah, the episode culminates with them looking out over the quote-unquote majestic battlefield.
I thought it was a pretty cool battlefield.
It was a pretty cool.
Neat stadium.
Mm-hmm. It almost reminded me of like an ancient Roman kind of Colosseum, yeah. But like in the water. So it is pretty cool. And the twerps are all acting like they're looking on in awe, and they're all acting like they've waited their whole lives for this one moment. But it's only been a few days, and we only found out about the World Cup apparently a month ago with zero prep. But this is all inspiring, amazing, wonderful, can't believe we're finally here type of moment. Misty better have like a complete 180 because she really needs some help.
Well, let's deep dive into our MVP and LVP in quotes. Kelsey, you're first.
My MVP is Octillery, because Octillery overcame adversity. Also, I feel like I recall y'all referring to Octillery as slow moving. I did not feel that way about Octillery. Oh. I feel like there was a scene near the end where Octillery is moving quickly and kind of like haphazardly.
I didn't actually watch the episode. I just kind of listened to it, so I could have missed something.
Fair enough. Well, anyway, Octillery is my MVP. LVP is Marcellus. He's not a very good trainer. He doesn't seem very knowledgeable about these hundreds of fish that he's been keeping. Like, what are you doing, Marcellus? Maybe this just isn't for you. For my quote, it's going to be Ash approaching Marcellus saying, "You don't look so good. Did you lose already?"
My MVP is going to be Ash for being a dick. I like when he demonstrates a personality. I don't know. I don't have anyone else. I don't have anyone for this episode. My LVP will be Misty for her poor showing with her Corsola against that Remoraid.
That was so bad.
She can only win when she's fighting Magikarps. And my quote, I'm going to give it to Veronica Taylor to tell us.
Oh.
Just keep your eyes closed and you'll be fine.
How am I supposed to see? How's this?
Did y'all hear that?
The flailing around in the Octillery costume where she screams, "Aww, aww."
Yeah, well, did that pick up on the mic?
Yes, yeah. It did.
Thank God. All right, that was my quote.
Perfect.
Thank you, Miss Veronica Taylor. In fact, I'm going to change my MVP from Ash to Veronica Taylor for that quote.
Very fair. God, that was perfect. Maybe we should switch over to verbal sound clips for our quotes.
It's too much work.
We got that is. Yeah.
I got so much editing to do already. I can't do without you.
We won't put that on you, Austin. Don't worry about it.
I made that decision in episode one to not do that, actually.
Okay. Fair enough. My MVP is going to be Marcellus Wallace, because that is literally all I could think of when I heard that his name. And I had to look it up, too, because I was like, what is this kid's name? I don't think. No, Misty does say it, but like way later.
Who is Marcellus Wallace?
Of Pulp Fiction fame.
Oh.
He's a character in Pulp Fiction, which I remember zero detail about that movie other than, you know, just him looking around.
Oh, the meme.
Confusedly, like that
yeah.
meme.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I could think of was Marcellus Wallace. So.
Okay.
And I'm really fishing for an MVP because I don't know.
Fishing for Remoraid.
Ayo. I think he's actually the bad guy in that movie, so I'm sorry if he does some bad shit in that movie and I just don't remember, but whatever. That's my MVP and I'm sticking with it.
Let's watch Pulp Fiction for both this episode.
Sure.
That'd be fun.
My LVP... Who did we say is LVP? I don't even know.
I said Misty.
Kelsey, what'd you say?
Marcellus.
Damn! I wanted to give it to him. No, I'm going to give my LVP to Marcellus's parents.
Oh.
For...
R.I.P.
Yeah, maybe he, like, killed them to, like, inherit all their money and, like, fund his Remoraid obsession.
I like that plan.
Assuming they're not dead, I'm just going to assume they're terrible absent parents who, like, leave this poor kid alone in this giant house with, like, nothing but Remoraids to occupy his time, because... He's apparently cooking for himself and, like, taking care of himself and just inviting whoever rando stranger happens to walk by back to his house to be like, come see my Remoraid tanks. And his parents just don't give a shit. So LVP those guys. Money doesn't solve every problem. My quote is going to be... Did we even talk about this part? I forgot. Does anybody have any, like, background on this, or did I miss something? The part when... Team Rocket sneaks in to steal all the Remoraid initially.
Oh.
And Jesse, they lower themselves into the ceiling, and she sees all the Remoraid tanks around her, and she screams out. She's like, ah, it's my wretched recurring Remoraid nightmare come true. And James makes the comment, I see no resemblance to that first grade teacher of yours. Like, what was that all about?
Just one more piece of the puzzle that is Jesse's background.
What?
I actually saw on Bulletpedia that part is listed as an error in the episode because James and Jesse don't go to school together. So how would James know? Though I guess Jesse could, if it was that impactful, Jesse could have told him, yeah, and like showed him a picture or something.
So I want to know, like, what possible connection her first grade teacher could have had to, like, remind her of, like, Remoraid. Did like, the teacher shoot her with, like, a Remoraid gun? Like,
did she look like a Remoraid?
What? I don't know.
She was thrown in the chokey, but it was a chokey full of Remoraids.
She threw her in the tank.
And maybe she had the same backstory that Wonder Joy had with the Remoraids.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, where she fell into the lake and was traumatized for all water Pokemon just because some Remoraids were playing around.
There are too many Remoraid episodes.
There's a lot.
Agreed. They were really trying to make you care about Remoraid.
Just like once upon a time, the Pokemon company tried to make us care about Poliwhirl because it was front and center of all the marketing material, but...
On Time Magazine.
That never went anywhere.
Poliwhirl!
Poor Poliwhirl.
Was at least a more exciting looking design.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, yep, that's it.
Well, you know who has a Poliwhirl is Misty. And you know what she's doing. She's going to be in the World Cup for the next two episodes.
Ooh. She sure is.
Yeah, what's on tap? What's on tap? Is that next week?
On tap, we got more water Pokemon. Hey, it's Ayo. Dueling Heroes and the Perfect Match.
We're in the deep of the throes of the World Cup then, right?
Yep, we're underwater. Thrilling. That's Thrilling. How deep we are.
We're in the Marianas Trench, that's how deep we are.
All right, Kelsey, well, thanks for subbing in this week.
Yeah,
Kelsey, is so nice to have you back. We're so thrilled you could join us this week. Really appreciated that.
Yeah, this was fun. It was fun also just getting to explore some Pokemon episodes that I have never seen because I fell off.
Thanks so much, Kelsey, for joining us. And thank you, listeners, for joining us this week. We love to have you guys. So we also love to have you guys reach out and connect with us. So if you want to get in touch, we have our Gmail account. That's outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Feel free to tell us how silly we are over there. We also have a Twitter/X account @outofdryingpan. Again, @outofdryingpan. And an Instagram, which I have woefully neglected despite advertising it every week. So that's @outofthedryingpan. Hopefully I'll get around to posting something there soon. And if you'd like to support us, if you really like our content and want to see more of this in the future or see our bonus content that we put out, lots of fun stuff over there, consider supporting us on our Patreon. The link can be found in the description of this podcast. We look forward to seeing you guys next week as the journey continues.